Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
If you ask somebody about the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure if they have any knowledge of the Word of God, they would cite Matthew chapter 6. We're beginning in verse number 9. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's a prayer that we're familiar with. And most see that as the Lord's Prayer. But that prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount was an instructional prayer teaching us how to pray, giving us the direction and an outline of prayer. But what I want you to see in John 17 is another vital prayer. It's not like the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, but this is a prayer that Jesus prays for us. You know, you can really find the heart of what's going on in any environment when there's prayer going forward. If I walked in the room and there was a prayer meeting going on, I could listen in to the words of that prayer and probably figure out what's happening or being asked of God by the prayer that's being prayed. Am I right about it? I could come in late for the prayer meeting, come on somebody, and grab hold of what the purpose of that prayer and what's being petitioned by God, by whoever it is that's doing the praying. Now, here in John 17, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And he's praying this open-ended prayer. And verse 20, he makes it clear to the Father that he's not just praying for his 12 disciples, but he's praying for anyone. Watch verse 20. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So that's an open-ended prayer saying, anybody that would ever believe, I'm praying this prayer for you. So that prayer right there in John 17 is a prayer he's praying for me. Hallelujah. It's a prayer that he's prayed for you if you're a believer. It'd be no different if Chris and I got together and we prayed for our kids, Jaron and James and Myla and Lana. If we prayed for our children, that God use them for such and such, Lord, use them for the advancement of your kingdom, etc. Or if I prayed and said, "Father, I pray not only for our children, but every child, grandchild, great-grandchild, I pray for my children and my children's children and my children's children, children's children, children." Do you understand what I'm saying here? So now I'm saying, Lord, I'm not just praying for my children, James, Jaron, Lana, Myla. I'm praying for their children and their children and their children and perpetual generations. That's an open-ended prayer. And what Jesus is doing here in this prayer is he's praying for anybody that would ever believe on his word. And the reason I'm making such a case about this is I need you to see John 17 is God's will for you. It is, if you walked in on this prayer meeting, it is a way for you to hear and know what Jesus thinks about you and me and what his plan is for us. He's getting ready to go to the cross and he's praying and interceding for you and me. And this is the prayer that he's making. Now, let's for time's sake, just go back to verse 14. He says, "I have given them thy word," glory. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." If you want to live in love with the world and you want the world to be in love with you, you can't live that kind of life with the Word of God. If you're going to live for the unadulterated Word of the living God, you better know there's some folk in this world that are not going to like you. When I hear folks saying things about me and this, that, and the other, that don't faze me. How can I expect everybody to love me if I'm going to make my life about the Word of God? So you can't get caught up in wanting to win a popularity contest. And it doesn't mean that you want to go out and intentionally make folk not like you, because I don't believe the Lord's called me to live such a life that folk would intentionally not like me. I just know that if you make your position the Word of God, the world system is in opposition to anything that goes against the Word of God. And that's why I took so much time in volume one to tell you about this unseen war between good and evil, because we're living in the midst of conflict where the opposition of darkness and light, we're caught in the middle of that. And if you're going to make your life about the kingdom of God, and if you're going to make your life about the Word of God, there's going to be opposition in your life. Why? Because God has a position for every one of you, old and young. There is a purpose, a divine purpose that God has given every one of us. You are not a mistake. You're not an accident. You are an intention. God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, I ordained you. There's a purpose that God has for every one of our lives, and you are significant to the kingdom of God. And there is a place that God wants you in so that you can be used for the advancement of his kingdom, so that his will can be done as it is in heaven, done in your life on earth. And there's a position that God wants you in that the enemy doesn't want you to take. Let me prove it. Because opposition, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Opposition is opposed position. Opposition is opposed position. So when you say I've met opposition, that means there's a position God has for me, but it's being opposed. And you have to know that the position that God has for you as a believer, the enemy is going to oppose that position. And the moment you meet that opposition, then you're in a war, you're in a conflict. It's unseen, but it's real. The purpose of this series is to show that to you, so that you can see in the Word of God that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. And there's a battle that's going on between darkness and light, and it's real. Now some of you might say, oh, this is, you know, spooky stuff. I don't know what I've done today. I don't know if I should have come here. No, it's not no spooky stuff. I'm going to show you how real it is. Let me just show you a simple illustration on how real this is. Have you ever decided that you were going to pray, and you didn't even put a time frame on the prayer? You were just going to pray. And you didn't say, I'm going to pray for an hour. You just said, I'm going to pray. And when you went to pray, you either got sleepy, or all of a sudden the phone kept going off, or something distracted you, and you never really got to the prayer. If that's happened to you, lift your hand. Look at your neighbor and say, opposition. Have you ever been fine all week long with your spouse going off to work? Okay, baby, I'll see you this evening. Okay, darling, you know I love you. I love you too. Praying your day be blessed today. You too. One more kiss, baby, before I go. Oh, that's good. Give me a wet one, girl. Come on. Yeah, that's good. Ha-ha. Jesus. Everything lovey-dovey. Everything's fine. Sunday morning. Baby, where's my socks? What socks? The socks you know I like to wear with this suit. I don't know. I don't wear your socks. Now see there, why you got to say that? Did I say you wear my socks? Did I ask you, did you wear my socks? I know you don't wear my socks. Why do you have to give me that kind of attitude when I just asked you a simple question? An attitude? You're the one that can't keep up with your socks. Who do you think I am, your mama? I'm not your mama. You know what? You know what? I was going to take you to church today and maybe to Cracker Barrel, but forget all that. You're going to come in here and give me an attitude, and I'm just trying to get dressed for church. Well, you need some church by the way you've been talking to me lately. Oh, I need some church. Now, forget this. I ain't even going. Now, if you've ever had something like that happen on a Sunday morning, put your hand up. Look at your neighbor and say, opposition. See, anytime there's a position that you're supposed to take, that's of God and ordained of God, that's when the enemy comes in with everything he's got to oppose you taking that seat. That's when you need to work harder to make sure you get in that place, recognizing, man, the enemy's really trying hard not to get me here. That's that unseen battle. That's that unseen war where the enemy will do everything he can to keep me from the place that God has called me, because that place that I've been called to, we're going to talk about sometime in this series, I'm going to show you 10 things you've been called to, 10. And not because 10 is just a real cool number, but because as I've searched the word, I found 10. And so we're going to look at some things that you've been called to, but I want you to know one of those 10 is that you've been called to a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been called to a purpose. And that purpose is the advancement of his kingdom. God wants to use you to advance his kingdom as a subordinate king in the kingdom of God. So when you look on the title and you see this kings and pawn, I want you to say, okay, I'm gonna be a king. I'm gonna represent the kingdom of God. When you say kingdom, all you're saying is the king's domain, the king's dominion. I want to advance the kingdom. That was God's first gift to man, was dominion. He made man in his image to advance the kingdom of God. It was John the Baptist's first message. It was Jesus' first message. It's mentioned 122 times in the four gospels. We were born again to advance the kingdom of God. Now, most of us, I think, have some type of story or testimony of how we have not always been about the kingdom. But there was a time in our life when we were being used by others or by the enemy to advance a different agenda. And that's what I want you to see when you hear the word pawn. Is my life really being used by God for the advancement of his kingdom? Or am I just really being used by the enemy to advance his own agenda? So Jesus prays here in verse number, help me, what verse am I in? Okay, so he says in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's why we spent so much time talking about evil, because we need to have the discernment to see the difference between what is good and what is of God and what is evil. He says, I don't need you to take them out of the world, because then there'd be nobody there to represent me. See, you may be on a job you don't like. Don't raise your hand, because you might be a staff member and I'd be upset and went, oh man, you don't like your job. But your boss might be here, so let's don't put a show of hands. I don't like my job and I want to leave. But I have no doubt that somebody here is probably thinking, man, I got to get out of here. I don't like this job. And you might say, I'm the only person saved up there. Those folk are heathens, and they do this and that, and I can't take it no more. Lord, get me out of here. Well, what would happen if instead of you just wanting to leave because it's so dark, that you prayed and said, Lord, use me to advance your kingdom and to preach Jesus and to make you known. And then, Lord, once I've done that, could you get me up out of here? In other words, don't just want to leave darkness for the sake of it being dark, but leave darkness because you know you took to it the light of the gospel. What would happen if we said, okay, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world, and it's not the will of God that I be taken out of the world because I'm to make a difference in this world. So many people leave places that you didn't need to leave because God wanted to use you there to make an impact. See, God wants to use you right where you are to make an impact. But if we keep leaving places every time we meet opposition, then we never take the gospel into that location. How many churches get up and leave neighborhood because the neighborhood changed? But maybe the neighborhood change needed what you had, and you left the neighborhood that needed what you had. Oh, y'all ain't gonna like me. Okay, here we go. So the world being in opposition to all that is of God and all that is good, Jesus said, Lord, don't take them out of the world. I need them in the world because I need them to be representatives of me. But at the same time, Lord, even though they're in the world, verse 15, keep them from the evil, because if they live in like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world, acting like the world, cussing like the world, doing what the world does, then they're not really representing me, and they can't bring the world to me when they look just like the world and act just like the world. Sanctify them, he prays in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify means make me different. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me. Read that part out loud. Read the rest. Even so have I also sent them into the world. So he's saying, Father, just like you sent me, I'm sending them. Just like you sent me, I'm sending them. So there's a purpose. There's an assignment that we have. Let me show you this assignment. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So Jesus said, I'm leaving the world, but I'm commissioning them. I'm sending them. I don't want you to take them out of the world. They're in the world, but don't let them be of the world. As you've sent me, I'm sending them. You may be the only Bible some people are reading. You may be the only Jesus some people ever get to see. You never know how God is wanting to use you, and I'm here to tell you that he wants to use you, and he don't want to just use you on Sunday, because we go to church and call it going to service, and halftime we don't even serve, we just receive. We've got to make Jesus more than a one day a week Savior. Now, I'm going to be real with you for a minute. Let me be real with you about James A. I was 17 when I accepted Christ. I went to church so my aunt would leave me alone, because she kept inviting me and she wasn't going to stop. So I figured if I went one time, she'd leave me alone. So I went. And I went and got saved. You hear me? I was not planning on none of that. But I went and I got saved. And so I find myself at the altar praying, ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And I'm saved now. And so I'm leaving church that day, and this real big man met me in the foyer. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he said, hey, I'm enrolling you in my Sunday school class, and I'll see you in Sunday school. And it was, everybody was leaving, it was busy. He said, we'll talk about it more tonight at BTU. I want to say, we ain't talking about nothing tonight at no BTU. Because I got to be somewhere else where you ain't going to be. And I won't be at Sunday school because I'm not getting up that early on a Sunday. So there were about 11 of my family members that got saved all at the same time. And so we went to Ryan's after church and we were eating rolls and honey butter. Jesus. And I said to my family, I said, look, I met this man after church, talking about Sunday school and being back at church now at BTU. I said, I ain't doing all that. I just got saved. I said, I ain't doing all that. I said, look, I believe, but that's it. I will be there at church service, not Sunday school, Sunday morning, maybe. But I'm definitely not going to be in no BTU tonight, and I'm definitely not doing Sunday school. I'll let everybody know. Y'all getting too far with this stuff. I had just accepted Christ. Now, let me be real with you. In my mind, I'm struggling. Can I really give Jesus Sunday morning? I wasn't even thinking about giving him Monday. Monday is for me. Monday is for me to do what I wasn't even thinking about Saturday. I'm just thinking, man, Sunday morning, Sunday school and church, that's just too much church. In my mind, being saved now meant I got to give Jesus Sunday morning, and it was too much. How quiet are y'all? Jesus didn't want no Sunday morning for me. He wanted all my life, every day of my life. But in my feeble mind, I'm thinking I can't even give him Sunday morning. And there's some I know I'm talking to that are like me. You'll struggle just to get your stuff together for a Sunday morning. God wants more out of me than a Sunday morning. He wants to you. I wasn't even thinking that, okay, the music I listen to needs to change because I really can't glorify God listening to Keith Sweat singing something just ain't right. And it didn't even hit me that Jodeci, jam, oh, jam, jam, Teddy, jam for me. It didn't even hit me that I didn't need Jodeci in my ears if I was going to advance. It didn't even hit me that there were things that I needed to stop saying and doing. And no, I'm just thinking Sunday morning, every one of them. But God is so good. I was at BTU that night. I was at the evening service. I was there Wednesday. I got to Sunday school. And little did I know, that was in the month of June. By August 20th, I had preached my first sermon. And by the first of the next year, I was the interim pastor of the church. I mean, I didn't factor none of that happening. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that have we allowed tradition to tell us being a Christian means you give Jesus Sunday morning and then you live the rest of your life any way you want to live? I'm here to tell you no. God wants all of you every day. He wants you on your job. He wants you out in the woods deer hunting. He wants you when you're on the fishing boat. He wants you when you're on the soccer field. He wants you in line at the bank. He wants you pumping gas at the gas station. He wants everything about your life to represent Him, so that you can be used as an ambassador for His kingdom everywhere you go. See, church is easy. Church is easy. I'm being real with you. Church should be easy. So let's say you're here today, but you're not a part of our service team. You're not a greeter. You're not an usher. You don't minister on the platform. You don't play the drums like Quinn, because Quinn can knock some drums down. Boom. So, you know, the worship team, they get together on Tuesday nights and they rehearse and they get everything right. And the ushers and the altar ministers all get here early and they pray up, and the tech team is working here. They were up here yesterday. And so, you know, we expect everybody that has some kind of title or role to have it all together. If you can't smile at folk, you don't need to be a greeter. And if you can't love people and have good breath, don't be a greeter. Say, what it takes to be a greeter? Have a good attitude and good breath. We don't want nobody walking anybody. Hello, welcome to where. Ooh. We don't need it to seem like demons have been living in your mouth all night. So you smile, love people, good breath, good hygiene, be a greeter. The rest, just don't mess it up. In other words, being here, this is easy. All you got to do is not mess it up. In other words, don't walk up to somebody that's visiting church and say, excuse me, that's my seat. See, if you just not do that, just don't mess it up. Then this could be a soul trap and really represent Jesus. But in church, it should be easy. But what are we doing outside church? What are we doing when we leave the building? What are we doing in the way we do our job and the way we go through life? Would anybody even know that I'm saved? So watch this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. When you get there, say amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, I know that verse begins with a therefore, but there's a lot of therefores in that chapter. So you can go back and do all that reading on why the therefore is therefore. Because in this service, I don't have time to go back. We will later, but for now, I want to start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature on Sunday. Old things are passed away on Sunday morning. And behold, all things have become new on Sunday morning. Is that the way it reads? No. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's saying here that God reconciled us to Jesus. He reconciled us to Jesus and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been called into the ministry. Now, you might not have a title, pastor, you know, teacher, missionary, evangelist, but every one of us, according to this scripture, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Say that out loud. The ministry of reconciliation. Every person that's been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ has been given the ministry of reconciliation. If you're one that writes in your Bibles or you're taking notes or what have you, draw a little cross in your notes. And notice on that cross that the cross points both vertically and horizontally. And every time you see the cross, I want you to think about, I've been reconciled to God through Jesus. And now I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means the relationship that I now have with God through Jesus, God wants to use that relationship to bring others into a relationship with him. Does that make sense? That's in everything that you say and everything that you do. Because I've been reconciled to God, I'm now working to reconcile others. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's a ministry every one of us have been given. So maybe you came to Olive Tav last week, and maybe you just come to know the Lord, and you're like, okay, man, pastor, what's next? I saw Jesus in a way I've never seen him. I've called on him as the Lord of my life. What's next? Okay, you've been reconciled to Jesus. You need to be baptized. Follow him in baptism as a sign that I'm buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. But something you can immediately begin to do is to bring reconciliation to others. Let others know who he is. Make him known to others. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, visit our website at wogm.com. I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.